This is the SPM listening test. There are four parts to the test. You will hear each part twice. For each part of the test, there will be time for you to look through the questions and time for you to check your answers. Write your answers on the question paper. You will have 6 minutes at the end of the test to copy your answers onto the answer sheet. The recording will now be stopped. Please ask any questions now because you must not speak during the test. Now open your question paper and look at part 1. You will hear people talking in 7 different situations. For questions 1 to 7, choose the correct answer A, B or C. You will hear each recording twice. You now have 30 seconds to look at part 1. Now we are ready to start. Listen carefully. Question 1.
You hear a girl phoning her friend.
Hi Jasmine, it's Alice. I've just been to buy a new t-shirt from that shop near the library, but when I went to return my books afterwards, I discovered I didn't have my student ID. I must have left it in the shop. And I needed it to get a student discount. I'm really sorry, but I was wondering if we could meet a bit later than we planned, so I can go back to the shop. We could go to that cafe we always stop at on our way home if you want. I'll buy the drinks. It's the least I can do. Let me know.
Now listen again.
Hi Jasmine, it's Alice. I've just been to buy a new t-shirt from that shop near the library. But when I went to return my books afterwards, I discovered I didn't have my student ID. I must have left it in the shop, and I needed it to get a student discount. I'm really sorry, but I was wondering if we could meet a bit later than we planned, so I can go back to the shop. We could go to that cafe we always stop at on our way home if you want. I'll buy the drinks. It's the least I can do. Let me know.
Question 2.
You will hear a doctor talking to her patient.
Good evening, doctor.
Good evening. You look pale and your voice is hoarse.
Yes, doctor. I'm running a temperature and have a sore throat.
Let me see. You have moderate fever, 37.5. Not that high.
This thermometer is very different from the one you used the last time.
Yes, this is a new one. It's much more convenient as it doesn't require cleaning after every use.
That's awesome.
Yes, it is.
Now listen again.
Good evening, doctor.
Good evening. You look pale and your voice is hoarse.
Yes, doctor. I'm running a temperature and have a sore throat.
Let me see. You have moderate fever, 37.5. Not that high.
This thermometer is very different from the one you used the last time.
Yes, this is a new one. It's much more convenient as it doesn't require cleaning after every use.
That's awesome.
Yes, it is.
Question 3.
You are out shopping when you pass a man in the street selling something. with a tarnish-resistant rotating aluminium serrated cutting edge. And, of course, you've all seen it before on TV anyway, haven't you, ladies? And here it is before your very eyes. Exactly the same quality as all the others, with one important difference, ladies and gentlemen. Because you won't find it anywhere at this superb knockdown bargain basement price of only £9.99.
Now listen again.
With a tarnish-resistant rotating aluminium serrated cutting edge. And, of course, you've all seen it before on TV anyway, haven't you, ladies? And here it is before your very eyes. Exactly the same quality as all the others, with one important difference, ladies and gentlemen. Because you won't find it anywhere at this superb knockdown bargain basement price of only £9.99.
Question 4.
You hear a girl talking to her teacher about her homework.
So, what's this about your homework, Karen?
Well, it took me a while to decide what to write about, but I decided on ancient castles in our country, as they're fascinating. I've been looking up lots of stuff on the internet and in encyclopedias, and have made loads of notes. But now I've got so much information, I don't know how to get it all in order and start writing my essay.
Sounds to me like you've been overambitious. You need to limit the topic you're looking at. Could you do that, do you think?
Okay, I'll try. Thanks, Mr. James.
Now listen again.
So, what's this about your homework, Karen?
Well, it took me a while to decide what to write about. But I decided on ancient castles in our country, as they're fascinating. I've been looking up lots of stuff on the internet and in encyclopedias, and have made loads of notes. But now I've got so much information, I don't know how to get it all in order and start writing my essay.
Sounds to me like you've been overambitious. You need to limit the topic you're looking at. Could you do that, do you think?
Okay, I'll try. Thanks, Mr. James.
Question 5.
You are watching the weather forecast for Britain on TV.
And moving on from the satellite picture, we can see that tomorrow there will be a fair bit of rain in the whole of the south of England. Pretty much the same story in the West Midlands, but the East Midlands should be getting some much brighter weather by mid-afternoon. And indeed, this may spread westwards by early evening. But I'm afraid there will be no improvement in northeastern England and Scotland for a day or so.
Now listen again.
And moving on from the satellite picture, we can see that tomorrow there will be a fair bit of rain in the whole of the south of England. Pretty much the same story in the West Midlands, but the East Midlands should be getting some much brighter weather by mid-afternoon. And indeed, this may spread westwards by early evening. But I'm afraid there will be no improvement in northeastern England and Scotland for a day or so.
Question 6.
You will hear a conversation between a fruit seller and her customer.
Good morning. How can I help you, sir?
Good morning. I'm looking for some fresh fruits.
Well, we have a great selection today. These juicy mangoes and strawberries just came in this morning. Our watermelons are also sweet and refreshing this time of year.
They are mouth-watering. Do you have any offers on them?
If you take any two of these fruits together, you can get them for half price.
What a great bargain! I'll take the mangoes and watermelons then.
Now listen again.
Good morning. How can I help you, sir?
Good morning. I'm looking for some fresh fruits.
Well, we have a great selection today. These juicy mangoes and strawberries just came in this morning. Our watermelons are also sweet and refreshing this time of year.
They are mouth-watering. Do you have any offers on them?
If you take any two of these fruits together, you can get them for half price.
What a great bargain! I'll take the mangoes and watermelons then.
Question 7.
You will hear a captain make an announcement on a flight.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. First, I'd like to welcome everyone on flight 112. We are currently cruising at an altitude of 33,000 feet at an airspeed of 400 miles per hour. The time is 1:25 p.m. The weather looks good, and with the tailwind on our side, we are expecting to land in London approximately 15 minutes ahead of schedule.
Now listen again.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. First, I'd like to welcome everyone on flight 112. We are currently cruising at an altitude of 33,000 feet at an airspeed of 400 miles per hour. The time is 1:25 p.m. The weather looks good, and with the tailwind on our side, we are expecting to land in London approximately 15 minutes ahead of schedule.
That is the end of part 1. Now turn to part 2.
You will hear Farisa talking about her experience as a personal shopper.
Choose the correct answer A, B, or C. You now have 1 minute to look at part 2.
Now we are ready to start. Listen carefully.
When I was a child, I never thought I could earn money from shopping. First of all, I have always been careful with how I spend my money. This has trained me to always look for the best bargains in town. I don't mind walking back and forth between shops just to make price comparisons. I take shopping as a form of exercise. As I am quite athletic and have good stamina, everyone has a hard time keeping up with my pace. I prefer shopping alone, anyway, so that no one could influence my decision making. I didn't want to buy things based on the opinions of others. Now that there are more online shopping websites, I shop online too. I am quite tech savvy, so I surf the internet a lot. I have a long list of websites that sell authentic products at low prices. From time to time, I check them out, in case they have clearance sales of the items I like. Most of my clients are friends and family members who love my style and would like to buy the clothes I wear. They encouraged me to become a personal shopper. I am a walking advertisement for my taste in fashion. I tend to wear clothes that suit my fashion style. It makes me feel good. I also feel great that someone admires my fashion sense. Unlike many personal shoppers, I don't charge my friends much as they are also cash-strapped like me. I just want to spend my weekends doing what I love most and help my friends look stylish. That's the most important thing. My friends matter a lot to me. I have learned one trick by retail companies. A discount may only mean the price is marked up before a sale. It is better to memorize the price of a product when it first hit the shelves. Only buy when it is half of the original price, or even better, a quarter. Yes, I do practice self-control and a lot of patience as I have to wait for the price drop. That's what I live by when I shop. Remember, always have a shopping list in hand. Keep to a strict budget. You don't have to monitor for new products all the time. Don't buy a piece of clothing just because it looks trendy, but make sure it goes well with the rest of your wardrobe. Despite my love for shopping, I don't own many clothes, bags or shoes. I tend to mix and match them with different outfits, giving others the impression that I have a huge wardrobe. I believe fashion empowers people, and I hope to open my own clothing store in the years to come, where young women can drop by with their best friends to check out my fashion designs.
Now listen again.
When I was a child, I never thought I could earn money from shopping. First of all, I have always been careful with how I spend my money. This has trained me to always look for the best bargains in town. I don't mind walking back and forth between shops just to make price comparisons. I take shopping as a form of exercise. As I am quite athletic and have good stamina, everyone has a hard time keeping up with my pace. I prefer shopping alone, anyway, so that no one could influence my decision making. I didn't want to buy things based on the opinions of others. Now that there are more online shopping websites, I shop online too. I am quite tech savvy, so I surf the internet a lot. I have a long list of websites that sell authentic products at low prices. From time to time, I check them out, in case they have clearance sales of the items I like. Most of my clients are friends and family members who love my style and would like to buy the clothes I wear. They encouraged me to become a personal shopper. I am a walking advertisement for my taste in fashion. I tend to wear clothes that suit my fashion style. It makes me feel good. I also feel great that someone admires my fashion sense. Unlike many personal shoppers, I don't charge my friends much, as they are also cash-strapped like me. I just want to spend my weekends doing what I love most and help my friends look stylish. That's the most important thing. My friends matter a lot to me. I have learned one trick by retail companies. A discount may only mean the price is marked up before a sale. It is better to memorize the price of a product when it first hit the shelves. Only buy when it is half of the original price, or even better, a quarter. Yes, I do practice self-control and a lot of patience, as I have to wait for the price drop. That's what I live by when I shop. Remember, always have a shopping list in hand. Keep to a strict budget. You don't have to monitor for new products all the time. Don't buy a piece of clothing just because it looks trendy, but make sure it goes well with the rest of your wardrobe. Despite my love for shopping, I don't own many clothes, bags or shoes. I tend to mix and match them with different outfits, giving others the impression that I have a huge wardrobe. I believe fashion empowers people, and I hope to open my own clothing store in the years to come, where young women can drop by with their best friends to check out my fashion designs.
That is the end of part 2. Now turn to part 3.
Part 3, questions 16 to 20. You will hear 5 short extracts, which a group of people talking about keeping a healthy mind. For questions 16 to 20, choose from the list A to G what each speaker says. Use the letters only once. There are 2 extra letters which you do not need to use. You will hear the recording twice. Answer all the questions. You now have 30 seconds to look at part 3. Now we are ready to start. Listen carefully. Speaker 1.
To keep my mind healthy, I take a few minutes each morning to meditate and focus on my breath. This helps me stay in the moment and lowers my stress levels. It's a simple yet effective way to start my day with a clear and calm mind.
Speaker 2.
Regular exercise is very important for my mental health. I make sure to exercise at least 30 minutes a day. Whether it's jogging, cycling, or even just taking a walk, these activities release chemicals that make me feel better and less worried.
Speaker 3.
Having strong connections with family and friends is key for my mental well-being. I make sure to call or meet them, especially the close ones often. Having people to talk to and share my thoughts and feelings with makes me feel understood and less alone.
Speaker 4.
Doing things I enjoy keeps my mind active and healthy. I love painting and reading, and I make time for these hobbies every week. Doing something creative or learning something new helps me relax and gives me a feeling of achievement.
Speaker 5.
Being thankful has made a big difference in my mental health. Each day, I take a moment to write down 3 things I'm thankful for. This simple habit makes me focus on the good parts of my life and helps me stay more positive.
Now listen again.
Speaker 1.
To keep my mind healthy, I take a few minutes each morning to meditate and focus on my breath. This helps me stay in the moment and lowers my stress levels. It's a simple yet effective way to start my day with a clear and calm mind.
Speaker 2.
Regular exercise is very important for my mental health. I make sure to exercise at least 30 minutes a day, whether it's jogging, cycling, or even just taking a walk. These activities release chemicals that make me feel better and less worried.
Speaker 3.
Having strong connections with family and friends is key for my mental well-being. I make sure to call or meet them, especially the close ones often. Having people to talk to and share my thoughts and feelings with makes me feel understood and less alone.
Speaker 4.
Doing things I enjoy keeps my mind active and healthy. I love painting and reading, and I make time for these hobbies every week. Doing something creative or learning something new helps me relax and gives me a feeling of achievement.
Speaker 5.
Being thankful has made a big difference in my mental health. Each day, I take a moment to write down 3 things I'm thankful for. This simple habit makes me focus on the good parts of my life and helps me stay more positive.
That is the end of part 3. Now turn to part 4.
You will hear a student, City, talking about her experience volunteering at a soup kitchen.
For questions 21 to 30, fill in the missing information in each numbered space. Use no more than 1 word for each space. You now have 1 minute to look at part 4.
Why don't you introduce yourself briefly to us?
Hi, my name is City, and I'm 17 years old. I'm here to share with you my experience volunteering at Full Belly's Soup Kitchen.
What inspired you to volunteer at a soup kitchen in the first place?
I was inspired to join a soup kitchen after witnessing the struggles of homeless people around my neighborhood. They rummaged through trash bins for food just to fill their bellies. It broke my heart to see the difficulties that they faced, and I knew that I had to take action. So I began doing some research, and that's when I came across Full Bellies Soup Kitchen. Before I did my research, I've never heard of soup kitchens. Many questions raced through my mind. What is a soup kitchen? Does it only serve soup? That's when I learned that a soup kitchen is a charitable organization or facility that provides free meals, not just soup, to those in need. It's nothing fancy, but it prevents people from starving. I was immediately drawn to the idea, so I sent my application to Full Bellies Soup Kitchen to work as a volunteer.
Great work, it seems. How would you describe the operation of a soup kitchen to someone who doesn't know?
So how does a soup kitchen work? Well, every soup kitchen is different. At Full Bellies Soup Kitchen, we get most of our food donations from local supermarkets. A team of volunteers sorts through the donations and determines which ones are still safe to use. Then, skilled cooks would use these ingredients to prepare the meals. When I first arrived at Full Bellies Soup Kitchen, I was surprised by the level of professionalism. You might think that soup kitchens are chaotic or run down. But in reality, many are well managed by dedicated volunteers and professionals who are committed to the cause. On my first day, they held a special briefing for all the newly recruited volunteers. They taught us how to handle food hygienically and treat people with respect. After the briefing, I felt much more confident and well prepared to assist in the soup kitchen. I felt a sense of purpose and belonging after the briefing, and I was proud to be part of such a worthwhile cause.
That's very interesting. Now that we know how a soup kitchen operates, please share with us what is your role at Full Bellies Soup Kitchen.
My role at the soup kitchen is to help pack the food for street distribution. Once the meals are ready, I pack the meals into containers and load them onto the van. Then, we drive the van to a designated location, set up tables, and start distributing the meals. During food distribution, we usually see a mix of fresh and familiar faces. Among them are elderly people who find it difficult to transport the food packages home. So, we offer our assistance to bring the food home for them. Our goal goes beyond just providing food. We try to help in any way we can.
How do you feel about your volunteering experience, and do you think you'll do it again in the future?
Volunteering at Full Bellies Soup Kitchen is a rewarding experience. But you know what makes it even better? Seeing people who used to come to the soup kitchen no longer needing our help. Sometimes all it takes is a little kindness to tide us through difficult times. Moving forward, I think I'd like to try volunteering at a shelter for the homeless. My experience at Full Bellies Soup Kitchen has given me a deeper understanding of the challenges that homeless people face, and I believe that I can put my experience to good use at a shelter.
Now listen again.
Why don't you introduce yourself briefly to us?
Hi, my name is City. And I'm 17 years old. I'm here to share with you my experience volunteering at Full Bellies Soup Kitchen.
What inspired you to volunteer at a soup kitchen in the first place?
I was inspired to join a soup kitchen after witnessing the struggles of homeless people around my neighborhood. They rummaged through trash bins for food just to fill their bellies. It broke my heart to see the difficulties that they faced, and I knew that I had to take action. So I began doing some research, and that's when I came across Full Bellies Soup Kitchen. Before I did my research, I've never heard of soup kitchens. Many questions raced through my mind. What is a soup kitchen? Does it only serve soup? That's when I learned that a soup kitchen is a charitable organization or facility that provides free meals, not just soup, to those in need. It's nothing fancy, but it prevents people from starving. I was immediately drawn to the idea, so I sent my application to Full Bellies Soup Kitchen to work as a volunteer.
Great work, it seems. How would you describe the operation of a soup kitchen to someone who doesn't know?
So how does a soup kitchen work? Well, every soup kitchen is different. At Full Bellies Soup Kitchen, we get most of our food donations from local supermarkets. A team of volunteers sorts through the donations and determines which ones are still safe to use. Then, skilled cooks would use these ingredients to prepare the meals. When I first arrived at Full Bellies Soup Kitchen, I was surprised by the level of professionalism. You might think that soup kitchens are chaotic or run down. But in reality, many are well managed by dedicated volunteers and professionals who are committed to the cause. On my first day, they held a special briefing for all the newly recruited volunteers. They taught us how to handle food hygienically and treat people with respect. After the briefing, I felt much more confident and well prepared to assist in the soup kitchen. I felt a sense of purpose and belonging after the briefing, and I was proud to be part of such a worthwhile cause.
That's very interesting. Now that we know how a soup kitchen operates, please share with us what is your role at Full Bellies Soup Kitchen.
My role at the soup kitchen is to help pack the food for street distribution. Once the meals are ready, I pack the meals into containers and load them onto the van. Then, we drive the van to a designated location, set up tables, and start distributing the meals. During food distribution, we usually see a mix of fresh and familiar faces. Among them are elderly people who find it difficult to transport the food packages home. So, we offer our assistance to bring the food home for them. Our goal goes beyond just providing food. We try to help in any way we can.
How do you feel about your volunteering experience, and do you think you'll do it again in the future?
Volunteering at Full Bellies Soup Kitchen is a rewarding experience. But you know what makes it even better? Seeing people who used to come to the soup kitchen no longer needing our help. Sometimes all it takes is a little kindness to tide us through difficult times. Moving forward, I think I'd like to try volunteering at a shelter for the homeless. My experience at Full Bellies Soup Kitchen has given me a deeper understanding of the challenges that homeless people face, and I believe that I can put my experience to good use at a shelter.
That is the end of part 4. You now have 6 minutes to check and copy your answers onto the answer sheet. You have one more minute. That is the end of the test. Please stop now.